Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. Yes, and I'm coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine. And I'm here today with a really cool guest who I discovered from two different angles. One, he came to me because of Ona's, so his company. He has a radio show called Extreme Health Radio, and it's very good. And you should definitely listen, and you should follow him on Instagram. His story is hilarious, and it's fun watching him and his kids and his chickens and his whole life. It's very cool. And he came to Ona's. He was inquiring about carrying Ona's, and so we met that way. But then at the same time, I get a message from Constantine, who told me that I should really have him on my show. He's like, you should reach out and have him on your show. And I thought, why not? I mean, I definitely dig his stuff. So he's on today with us, and he has so much to share. But you know what's funny is I was making a list with Constantine about what we could talk about. And I'm thinking of all these different guests. I think about, you know, they fill out a form with me to check out, like, I mean, to let me know what they want to speak about. Like, they give me like three different topics or you know, whatever they feel like chatting about, their message. And so he had some ideas, Justin did, and then Constantine and I were thinking about what we should ask him to chat about. So you have kind of a vague idea of what you're going to discuss, and usually it goes that way. Usually, like with all my guests, we generally talk about those topics, and sometimes we go off the rails a little bit, especially with people like Dr. Selig. We go all over the place, which is awesome. And then, but this time I was anticipating having a really getting into the nitty gritty about vitamin D. And Justin is kind of in the camp of not supplementing vitamin D, which is really hormone D. And so I wanted to pick at that. Now, I talk about it a lot with Morley Robbins and, you know, all these different guests that I've had, even Jay Feldman just recently, and I'm always talking about it. I guess I kind of want to get to the bottom of the discussion, but Justin kind of took the reins and took control of the show. And we end up talking about a bigger picture that he really helped me with, because I can get very caught up, and I know a lot of you can as well, with obsessing on a certain thing, like especially in my estrogen dominance support group, where right now the topic is estrogen, and we are just like, you'd think it's always about estrogen, but it's not. But right now it is. And, you know, it's easy to just get into the weeds, you know, get into the minutiae of it all. And it can get very confusing and overwhelming. And it seems like, you know, there's people fighting. It doesn't seem like it. There really are people fighting about, you know, is estrogen good? Is estrogen bad? You know, you have the estrogen camp and the no estrogen camp. And it's that way with everything, with diet, with the keto camp, with the no carb camp and the carb camp, with the repeat camp and the metabolic camp and the, you know, and you just, it's easy to get just caught up in all of it. And Justin really just took hold of the wheel. And it ended up being a much more elevated conversation that I really enjoyed. And so you're going to enjoy it too. He's a very cool guy, very chill, great vibe. You'll really enjoy him. And since we're talking about Ona's, you really should head on over to the Ona's website, us.onasnatural.com. I redid the US site, and I'm really hoping that my partner gets to it and starts to redo the Australia, the Canada, and the UK and the German site, and just redo it and make it look just as good as the US site looks. And we're working on a new super secret product. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but it's really cool, and it does have to do with hormones, and it's something that is good for everyone. Absolutely everybody. And it's not progesterone, because we already have that one, But anyway, head over to the website. And I think that's it. Yeah, I'll catch you on the backside, friends.
Yeah, no, it's this is great. So I didn't know it was relatively recent that you had some connection with the Ona's Natural, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. So I've just been Healthy Gut Girl for, you know, however many years, 12 years. And then I started running the estrogen dominance support group on Facebook. And then that grew into 20,000 members. And Ona joined like 4 years or 5 years ago. Actually, it was probably 6 years ago. Uh-huh. And she joined and, you know, I started promoting her her product, and I was loving everyone's feedback. And then she said after a few months, she was really excited that I was helping her business grow. And she said, would you like to collaborate? So we started to do that. And then she passed away. And and then about a year and a half, couple years later, her husband, the chemist, the other part of the company, reached out to me and said, I didn't realize that you had helped us out so much. Can you come on board as CEO and just help us and do what you're doing? Just keep doing it.
Wow.
And so, yeah. And so I thought that was a good opportunity So that was a year ago.
That's so cool. And where are you?
LA, Venice.
LA. Oh, okay. I'm just down in Orange County. Okay, cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So I know you originally because you had reached out to us, to Ona's, about, you know, working with Ona's, right? You had reached out for, and then all of a sudden I was getting all of this. I opened the doors to this new community. I started to go down the Ray Pete rabbit hole. And I guess that was also by way of Morley Robbins. And then just opened these doors to all these different people. And I met this kid, Constantine, who introduced me to a bunch of other people. And then he's like, you gotta have Justin on your podcast. Like, what are you thinking? So that's how this all came about.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I think I might know who that is, because I know a guy, or there's a screen name of an Instagram person named Constantine that I see a lot. So it's probably the same guy.
Yeah. He's this like 23-year-old. I'm sure he's a genius. And he came into our estrogen dominance group and has just been helping me and my other moderators help all these women. He knows much about so much of what you're going to talk with us about today. And he knows a lot about, you know, vitamin E and all the different roles that thyroid plays in our hormone health. And I'm like, how old are you?
That's crazy. That's cool. I mean, we're all on a journey, right? In a learning process. I've been involved in this whole field since 2003. And it wasn't until maybe 2015, 2016 did I fully understand, kind of come to where I am now. But there's whole groups and subgroups of people that know so much that you don't even know existed, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, this kid is studying law. And then in the midst of COVID, he's in Canada, they got locked down. And he couldn't go back to university. So he's just at home. You know, he can't do anything. He's at home and he's just learned. I mean, they really are creating a bit of a monster for our team by doing that to people, because they're just saturating themselves with all of this incredible depth of truth and just coming out with these kids who are going to just take over the world soon with their health knowledge. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, you said something there about starting off in 2003, and I started probably around 2007. And it's like, I guess kind of like an onion, maybe, where you just keep peeling away the layers and you finally, you know, you're like, wait a minute. Okay. Gut health. Okay. Wait a minute. Thyroid. Okay. Wait a minute. Wait. Now it gets real specific now. And this is where I want you to just like take it, which is, Let's just go with the fireworks, shall we? What the heck is up with vitamin D?
Oh man, this is like one of those rabbit trails, right? So it wasn't until recently, I think my friend Matt over at Mitolife had Jim Stevenson on his show. And I'm always looking for ways to learn more and to challenge what I know. Mm-hmm. And so everyone talks about how important it is to take vitamin D, right? Yeah. But no one talks about the fact that it's a hormone. It's not a vitamin at all. It's a, as, Jim Stevenson says it's a powerfully tightly regulated secosteroid hormone. And these things are incredibly have really powerful impacts on the body. And so when I learned that it was a hormone and not a vitamin, I thought, why are they telling us it's a vitamin? It's a hormone, right? Yeah. But I like to question mainstream alternative health a lot. You know, like there's people that are just talking about the benefits of fish oils and the benefits of vitamin D and fasting and keto. And then when I get to Jim Stevenson's work and there's a professor out of Australia. I forget what his name is, but he has a lot of work on this as well. And Morley Robbins, who you had on recently. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is that when people take a secosteroid hormone like this and a vitamin D3 pill, there's so many problems with that. Because one is that, first of all, you're skipping a bunch of conversion steps. You know, like when the sun hits your skin in nature, it's supposed to create 7-dehydrocholesterol. And through the interaction of the cholesterol in your body and UVB light from the sun. And then from there, the conversion uses magnesium primarily, but other minerals as well, to create pre-vitamin D3 hormones. And I learned a lot of this from Amy Prall, who's been on our show, and Morley Robbins as well. But these pre-vitamin D3 hormones are like lumisterol, tacosterol, and there's a bunch of them. And we create these from that conversion, right? And then from there, it creates vitamin D3, which is what we normally take. Mm-hmm. So when you're consuming vitamin D3, you're skipping those conversion steps. And so that's a real problem because you're creating like what Dr. Cruz talks about, circadian mismatches in the body. You're skipping a bunch of conversion steps that are supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's depleting your magnesium as well when you're taking these vitamin D3 supplements. And so from vitamin D3, then it has to be converted once again to 25-OHD, which is like the storage form that Morley talks about and Jim does. That's what they typically test for when you do a vitamin D3 test. And the testing itself, it's like the, I'll try to keep it safe for your audience so you can put it on, you know, on YouTube. Big C, little V, you know, it's like that test, how that's not accurate at all.
Right.
The same is true with the vitamin D test. So they're testing the storage form, vitamin 25-OHD, but they're not testing the active form, which is 125. And so then it has to get converted from 25 to 125. And so there's all these conversion steps that has to happen. And when you supplement in vitamin D3 format, you're skipping a lot of those conversion steps, but you're also depleting magnesium as well. And one of the studies I was recently showing was that 125 is what activates the nuclear receptor VDR. And the VDR is dependent on these receptors that interact with vitamin A, RXR, and RAR. And the VDR is responsible for like over 900 genes to be activated. And apparently, the consumption of vitamin D3 in pill form shuts down the proper gene transcription that happens through VDR.
Hmm.
And so it's not a good idea.
Right.
You know?
So then it's not just a matter of like taking that vitamin D in a usable form and skipping the steps. What I mean, like the body's not going to convert the supplement. It's already converted into a usable form, but it's just skipping these steps that's creating some disharmony. Is that kind of like a simpler way to say it, or did I skip something?
Yeah, no. Go ahead.
Because Morley said something similar about ascorbic acid, and I talked to pharmacist Ben Fuchs, and he said, "I said, well, you know, don't we turn vitamin C from camu-camu powder into that same ascorbic acid anyway?" And mm-hmm. he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, what's the problem then?" And he's like, "I don't know," because he doesn't agree with that whole concept of, you know, the vitamin C of not taking ascorbic acid. So is it a similar concept here where you're taking the vitamin D, you're taking that form, but it's already converted for you,
right?
Like ascorbic acid is. And so it's just a usable form, but all these steps are really crucial because of, I guess that's the part that's confusing to me.
So for me, it just makes more sense to when you're consuming a hormone to make sure you're doing it correctly and making sure that you're siding with nature as much as you possibly can, because like hormones, fats, and metals, you got to be really careful about those. Mm-hmm. And when you skip those steps, I was reading some studies on lumisterol, and that's really important for immune function and turning on immune function. And when you skip that and don't have that being converted through UVB, then that lowers lumisterol. And there's a whole bunch of new emerging science on the benefits of lumisterol, which I haven't even been able to dive into yet. But then also Stephanie Seneff was really interesting in that she said that when you consume vitamin D3 in pill form, it's usually always like a lipid, you know, based in a lipid particle. It's a fat. Uh-huh. But when you sulfate it via the sun, it's always water soluble and not fat soluble. Mm-hmm. So even the absorption is going to be way less on that. Mm-hmm. And it's just really interesting because when you look at like any other hormone that you test, I mean, you're a hormone expert, so you would know this, but typically they always test for active in storage, you know, but with vitamin D, because it's called a vitamin, they just test stores and they never test the active. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lot more complex than most people realize. And it also impacts vitamin A uptake because they compete for the same cell receptors on cells. And so that's an issue as well. And vitamin A, if that's lowered, then you're not going to be able to convert copper into ceruloplasmin, which will allow copper to be bioavailable, like Morley talks about. Mm-hmm. And so if that's not bioavailable, then you have a whole bunch. You have 24, I think, enzymes that ceruloplasmin converts into, 166 or 1,066 amino acids. And so it's and then if ceruloplasmin is not active, then iron will rise because of inflammation inside the body. Mm-hmm. And then if iron rises, then magnesium is lowered to or depleted to deal with that. So right. It's a lot more than just taking vitamin D and, you know, like this is a complex thing, you know?
So then that begs the question, how are these big studies missing this? I mean, there is so much data out there that supports supplementing vitamin D for everything from viruses to eye health to you name it, studies. And like, you know, like Georgie Dinkoff, he's like, I mean, show me how this data doesn't compute. Like it's here is the science that supplementing D. So what are these science? What are these studies missing? Are they just saying, okay, like, you know, you have somebody who is suffering from chronic, getting sick all the time. They're getting chronic viruses and flus and things. And then you up their vitamin D stores, which seem to be low, you up it, and then they get better. And then they're like, see, it works. Yeah, but they're but what they're not gauging and they're not studying is the downstream effects that you just mentioned about depletion of magnesium and vitamin A. Is that what's being missed here? Like someone as smart as Georgie Dinkoff and all these scientists that are doing this stuff, they're just like, no, don't see it.
Yeah, it's really interesting because Georgie is just like, he is a genius. And I think you just had him on, right?
Uh-huh, I did, yeah.
Yeah, I love his work and he's a genius. And there's a lot of people that are smart like that too. And, you know, I think for me, it's one of those things where it's funny when people do things that goes against what you theoretically believe. Mm-hmm. And they have success with it. So you're trying to piece this together in your mind and say, then how is this working? You know, how are people getting these results? And so I've heard Ray talk about this before, where even with like an omega-3 supplement, mm-hmm. you know, there's typically a 60 to 90 day window where it's going to be really beneficial for you, you know? And I've heard Adam Bergstrom talk about this as well, is it might be something that you might do after a surgery or something to lower inflammation for a period of time. But it's not something to take forever. And Jim was saying something recently, Jim Stevenson Jr., who's got a great Facebook group called Secosteroid Hormone D, I think. Mm. And he was saying that, to his knowledge, he hasn't seen one study studying the active form of vitamin D when it's combined with the storage form of vitamin D, and it will always, they'll always talk about storage and not active. And so it's, I don't really have an answer for all the studies. I know studies can be manipulated. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be careful with who's funding it and what, you know, how they're setting up the process and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think my starting point is siding with nature as much as possible.
Yeah.
And just being very careful with hormones, fats, and metals, mm-hmm. because those things are very, you know, can be very dangerous to the body, or they can be very helpful to the body, depending on how and when you take them and what combinations and things. And so when you realize that vitamin D should really be gotten from the sun, you know, to me, I just side with that. Mm-hmm. And when you combine it with all of the other research, Amy Prohl had a really great paper called, Vitamin D, an Alternative Hypothesis on PubMed. And I think it's like a 13-page PDF document that you can read. Mm-hmm. And she gets into the science of why people will have a benefit that I can't remember at the moment from taking vitamin D. And so it's a complex subject, but I think at the very least, what I like to just bring awareness to, mm-hmm. is that this is very, a very volatile substance. And just make sure you get it right, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because a lot of debate, you know, a lot of people arguing and stuff. But I think at the very least, just don't take it just because someone said so. Do some research.
Yeah. First. I've always felt a little funny about it, always, since like working with my mentor, Dr. Marshall. You know, there's always been this like K2 component and just like, you know, making sure. So I've never been like always putting it on people's programs. And so I really like to, like, I'll take it. Like I took it when I got COVID. I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to just get my D must be down. So I better just work on everything. And in the height of this crisis, just take it. And then I took it for, you know, like 10 days or something.
Right.
And then I didn't take it again. And, you know, I mean, that's just the way that I feel like, because I've never felt fully comfortable doing it like the way I, you know, take magnesium, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's an interesting subject, and I'm still on the fence about it all.
Did you say, Dr. Marshall, like Trevor Marshall or Bob Marshall?
Bob Marshall.
Oh, he was on our show. He was on like the third or fourth episode of our show.
No way. Really?
Yeah. I used to listen to his radio show all the time.
Me too. Yeah. Yeah. I worked with him. I ran his clinic in Santa Monica and I just, you know, shadowed and mentored with him for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, maybe.
Oh, until
wow. He passed. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
So he was talking about a genius, just like, mm-hmm. so much info that man carried in that brain of his. So let's talk about fats and well, lipo, say the word for me.
Lipobuscin.
Buscin. I've never heard that word. What the heck is it?
Oh, well, it's just a general name for the oxidation of lipids in the body. And so this was another sort of cornerstone of health when I stumbled across the work of Adam Bergstrom on this. He's written like 12 or 13 ebooks about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow fat disease, Acrolein, it could be also named brown bowel disease, age spots, liver spots, progressive lipofuscinosis, yellow fat disease, I think I mentioned. But basically, it's a synergistic amalgamation of oxidized lipids, heavy metals, estrogen. And when these things sort of synergize inside the body, they show up first on your skin as like age spots. And Adam was saying in his book that for every one you have on your skin, you have thousands inside your body. And so when you realize like, okay, so oxidation is really one of the major drivers of what causes disease, this loss of electrons. And I know Ray Pete talks a lot about that, and obviously Morley and people like that. But it's fascinating because in my health journey early on, I was just chasing, oh, medicinal mushrooms, the raw food diet. You know, I know Dr. Marshall was big into that, enzymes and all this kind of stuff. And you kind of just bounce around from one thing to the next. And then when I understood that really the main driver of all disease is oxidation, And the oxidation of lipids and the interaction between iron and oxygen, as Morley talks about, and the loss of electrons, and this creates a cascading effect. And so when oxidation occurs, iron rises, magnesium lowers, you have this mineral dysregulation, there's a loss of electrons, and the oxidative, the inflammation process occurs. And so when you consume these types of fats that oxidize really easily, then you create this, what they call lipofuscin or yellow fat disease. And that's basically the calcification of your organs, of your body, of your tissues, of your glands. And this shows up as shrinking organs and organs that don't function properly. A lot of what fatty liver disease is progressive lipofuscinosis of the liver. Mm. And so it's really interesting when you understand, you know, that connection.
Yeah. So, okay. What comes first, metabolic dysregulation or lipofuscin?
Depends who you talk to. Oh, Adam Bergstrom would say lipofuscin, and the metabolic community would say metabolic dysfunction. I think it's like the chicken and the egg. I think both are issues, and I think it really doesn't matter, you know, which one comes first. Mm-hmm. You know, Morley plays it off a little bit less and says the iron is the match that strikes the cascading effect of oxidation. So it's mm-hmm. the excess iron in your body that's the real problem, mm-hmm. More so than lipofuscin. And Adam Bergstrom would disagree with that. So we had them both on our show. And so it all just, I think it's just important to be mindful of these things. And, yeah. You know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, kind of like peeling away. I keep using this example the last several podcasts, just that peeling away of the onion. And it's, you know, because I've been teaching gut health for 12 years. And anytime anybody says anything to me about mineral imbalance or thyroid imbalance, I'm like, your gut. And though I think that's really true, and you know, you can't go wrong working on the gut and continually upregulating healthy digestion, there is, like, Morley's the one who got me here. We were going back and forth on several podcasts where it was like, okay, like a chicken or the egg, but it was like, wait a second. Well, he said, well, what's inside of the microbes in your gut? What runs the microbes? And I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, I guess they're cellular creatures. So they have, you know, organic matter. He's like, mitochondria, and what's inside of the mitochondria and what runs those mitochondria? Is it another gut? He's like, no, it's minerals. It's, you know, what sparks that life are the minerals. So, mm-hmm. you know, now we're talking about that. And I'm thinking that at the core of even metabolic dysregulation is what slows that down is ultimately what's at the core of your mitochondria and how is that functioning, right? I'm just kind of popping this open as we speak, really.
No, I remember your discourses with Morley, and you know, at the beginning you were talking mostly about, well, how are we going to get the minerals? The gut has to be able to absorb those minerals. Mm-hmm. And then I think you had another episode with him where, you know, he was just harping on this idea that you have to have minerals in order to absorb, and you were saying, well, you have to be able to absorb to be able to intake the minerals so that you can, you know, improve your gut health. So it's like this chicken and egg thing. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And you had some good back and forth with him. You know, I don't think there's anyone that really knows, you know. I think a lot of what happens in our field, I know you with the podcast and me as well, there's a lot of people like Georgie and Ray Pete and Morley Robbins, and there's all these really great, amazing people. And I think all of them have a piece of the picture. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Cruz is who I look to, you know, for, you know, being an expert on light, you know, but Dr. I don't think Dr. Jack Cruz, but I don't think any one of them puts everything together, you know, and
yeah.
You know, so it's challenging to put it all together and connect the dots, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's kind of what we try to do though, is just like, it's like a puzzle. And, you know, working with the women in the group and having all these hormone discussions, and they're like, well, I heard that blood serum wasn't good enough test. And I heard that blood spot was better. And I heard that the Dutch isn't that great, and all mm-hmm. of this stuff. And I'm like, listen, it's all just pieces to this big puzzle that makes up who you are. It's not just a puzzle for overall health. It's a puzzle for your individual person, because it's going to be different from, you know, your friend's puzzle. And it's just pieces. And we just have to see where they fit so we can kind of get a sort of global overview of what's going on. And all the information is useful, but I guess it can get really overwhelming is the problem. And I think that's the biggest complaint when, you know, people love Morley and they love, you know, clinical guests and stuff, people that speak very clinically. But I think overall, it's like, all right, well, what does this mean to me? And so I really just try to make it digestible and palatable so people are like, oh, okay.
Hey everyone, I wanted to introduce Ona's new ultra concentrated CBD progesterone cream. It's 5% CBD and 3% progesterone for relief of stress, anxiety, minor aches and pains in your muscles and joints. It is US sourced, produced, and naturally derived. It's organically grown. And right now we are doing a special because this particular strength of CBD on the market, which is THC free, normally goes for about $120 for 2 ounces. So we are doing $60 as an introductory offer. And the reason I developed it was because this particular combination with the CBD helps to downregulate cortisol while it helps you to take advantage of the progesterone benefits. The link is in the show notes, or you can go to us.onasnatural.com.
So lipofuscin, how can I make this? How does this affect my life? You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think too, there's a lot of just like guru worship, you know, you see it, I see it, you know, being in this field, people, well, how could this person be wrong? And I think that some people are right about some things and some people are wrong about some things. And, you know, I think it's important to be able to just be humble and look at new evidence. And, you know, most importantly, I think the thing that bothers me the most is, you know, people doing tests or the biohackers that are in our space where they're constantly, you know, getting they're wearing the Aura rings and they're sleeping with it and they're getting their scores and they're just tracking and monitoring everything instead of, you know, our ancestors never did that, you know? And I think it's really important to sort of step away from all of that and just say, how do I feel? Does this make sense? Maybe this is something I should, you know, pursue a little bit more of. Maybe I should dive into Morley's work. Maybe I should get into Ray P's stuff. And I feel like for all of us, like there was a doctor on our show one time and he made this statement. It's really, really, you know, kind of eye-opening for me is he said that we're always making cancer cells. Like we're always doing it, you know? And most of the time, if we have a strong immune system, our immune system gets on top of it. I think he said like there's 3 to 4 major bouts of cancer we all have throughout our lifetime, but we never know it because our body just gets on top of it. And maybe during those, maybe 6, 8 months to a year, you might be feeling a little bit off and that's what the body's doing. Mm-hmm. But had you got a test, you would have been diagnosed and then in the system, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that we have this unique ability to search out and be attracted to information that might help us.
Yeah.
Like through our subconscious or some weird phenomena where if we're really connected to ourselves and we're really out there searching and someone says something, it might just open up a wormhole of information that you need to overcome to overcome something that you're dealing with, but you don't even know you're dealing with it, you know? Right. And so I think it's really important just to follow our intuition instead of constantly tracking sleep numbers and you know, BMI numbers and getting tests and the Dutch tests and all these numbers that are arbitrary, you know?
Yeah. I love that because I said that to, I think to Morley, or I said this to someone recently. I said, you know, it's like, oh no, I was saying it about Morley. I said, you know, if we just listen, and you may not even get it on the cognitive, like right here level, but there is so much truth to what he speaks that you intrinsically will feel and you'll start to understand. And I'm like, listen to it on fast because I do that and I'll listen to it over and over. Yeah. And then it really does start to, you know, have a lot of meaning. And like you said, you know, my husband's a chiropractor and he said, that's the big question. And when people are getting worked on and they're in pain, the big question is why? Why did this happen? What's wrong with me? What's going on? Why did that happen? Why did that happen? And he's like, it'll change. Don't worry. I mean, who knows, you know, really why it happened. But so that's good advice because I'm currently being obsessed with thyroid. I've never been into the whole thyroid thing. And right now I'm really, really into it. Thanks to Constantine. And so I've been testing it. And you know, it's really fascinating. Now, like you said, I don't want to go so far down that rabbit hole that I can't do anything without taking my temperature and my pulse. But mm-hmm. I also think there's a lot of interesting information about the fact that I'm an adrenaline. I'm running on adrenaline all the time, and that needs to change, right? Yeah. So, are you running on adrenaline?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, we have twin boys that are four years old.
Oh my goodness!
And so no yeah, there's a lot of stress, and you know, there's a lot of stress in today's world, you know, and so. Mm-hmm. Just on top of everything, having twins, and we have a bunch of chickens, and we have, you know, a couple dogs. And so our life is really full. And so stress is at, you know, really high. And so I'm constantly learning about ways to mitigate stress and to lower that as much as I can in my life. Because there's a lot to be worried about if you really want to worry about things. There's, my gosh, you can go on and on with all this stuff that's happening in the world, you know? And so, but I really do feel that, you know, if we're open to things and we're willing to research and to look, I feel like we will be attracted to the things that will ultimately heal us. As long as we're out of our mind and doing it from our heart more than the mind. Because let's say, for example, like there's this warring debate between the metabolic community and the root cause protocol people. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of at odds with, you know, about a bunch of different topics. But the way I look at it is, if someone is really attracted to the work of Dr. Pete, for example, versus Morley Robbins, if they're going into it and from a heart-centered position, maybe the good points of the repeat community, you know, the adaption of those protocols will help turn around a health challenge in that person. And then you can move on from that or stay within that. But it's okay to have people in these camps, because if they're doing it from the right perspective, then ultimately it's healing them. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? And so I'm not going to, you know, I just think it's funny that people are online debating about whether or not vitamin D is healthy. I mean, that's amazing to have first world problems like that, right?
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I love that. That's so well said, because I think that, you know, getting a lot of repeat people in my group on Facebook, and you know, he's a low dose progesterone guy, and it doesn't go up into hundreds or over unless it's very rare. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that is not right. It's not right for everybody. I've had my group for 7 years. I myself, if I did anything less than 200 milligrams, I could have a massive psychotic panic attack. You know, I'm just seeing women doing 30 milligrams of progesterone and having, you know, growing fibroids overnight, literally going and getting a scan one day and a scan the next day and having, you know, issues. Like it's a thing. And, but you know, I'm not going to flush Ray down the toilet and kick all these people out of my group just because they disagree with my anecdotal experiences. So you're right. It's like, if you're coming from a good heart centered place, you're not going to take offense to this knowledge. You're just not going to. And you're going to be open to hearing it. I love that, because you really can get people who are just, which is like a very sort of religious way to go at it with science, isn't it? Just to be like, what did you say? You know, I had to leave the Root Cause Protocol group, or the magnesium advocacy group, because, you know, you can't step sideways in that group or you're going to get booted. I'm like, this is too stressful for me. In my group, I'm like, come on, bring it on. If you got some data to show me, I'm down with that. Or even just your own personal experience. Let's have it.
Yeah, it matters. And I read an article years ago. I don't know if you're familiar with this personal development blog, this guy named Steve Pavlina, and he, his website's just stevepavlina.com. And he wrote a really interesting article about ideas and the formation of ideas, the creation of ideas, and how we hold on to ideas, and how ideas can either serve you or harm you. And he made this analogy that always stuck with me as soon as I read that article, was that he compared ideas to like building a house. And he was saying, you know, when I have an idea, it's like a hammer in my toolkit. Right. Mm-hmm. Or if I have a drill bit, or if I have a saw or some nails, these are all tools to accomplish a task. And he was saying that, like, you know, at no point during the construction of the house does the person think that he is the hammer? Or that he is the, you know, the saw or whatever. This is just a tool to help him carry out a task. And he was saying, well, what is your task? Like, what are you building in your life? What are you doing in your life that's meaningful, that's helping others? And does having these ideas help foster that in any way? And if it doesn't, you should just let him go, because it would be like having a tool at the construction site that you don't need, right? It just serves no purpose. And so he was saying that, you know, when you're done with an idea, it's okay to put it back and use it for later and step away from that idea and realize that you're done, because that idea is what helped you build the house. Mm-hmm. Right. And so he was saying in the article, like, what is the thing that you're working on? How are you cultivating yourself? And how do your ideas that you hold on to facilitate and foster who you're becoming? And so when you realize that, then you can step away from those ideas and realize that's not my idea. I'm not that idea, and that idea is not me. And so what I thought was really cool was just applying that to whatever, like the Root Cause Protocol group, the Dr. Pete group, the left-right paradigm that we're all living in. We get these arguments where we think that, like, we are those ideas, but really, like, it's okay to change your mind. And it's okay to go from left to right or right to left. It's okay to, you know, say Dr. Pete's wrong about this and then agree with, you know, the other 80%. It's just an idea. It's not us, you know?
Yeah. I think that's been a real big phenomenon these last couple of years too, is people clinging to these ideas, you know, good and bad, and just making them part of their identity. Yeah, for sure.
It's weird how people do that, huh?
Yeah. You know, I had this experience this morning that really kind of upset me, but then I handled it really well and was like, okay, this can be a learning experience here. I just got this, you know, I posted some, like, my stories are similar to yours. They're a little bit triggering sometimes. And and I posted something a little triggering, and someone messaged me in the morning. I saw it, and it was like, I can't believe you say that or think this, believe this, disgusting, gross, unfollow. And I was like, you know, I get those a lot, so I just ignore them. Well, then I just decided to kind of look through our private messaging thread. It had been months of me helping this woman randomly. Uh-huh. I don't know her. She was asking me about gut health and hormones, and she'd been going through a lot of stuff. And I was just months of free advice and just hang in there, girl, and come join us on the estrogen group. And, you know, here's a product that'll help histamine, and really helpful. And she just flips on a dime like that. And I at first got really hurt. I was like, ouch, you know, but then, you know, I just prayed about it a little bit. And I was like, this is a good learning moment. So I took some screenshots of everything we had said, and I sent it to her. And she blocked me, by the way. I had to send it to her from Ona's account, from my other Instagram. And I was like, hey, I was like, you know, I'm so sad. You know, we had this months of relationships where I was helping this random woman. You were coming to this random woman for help. And because we disagreed on one issue, you decided that I'm someone that is just not helpful to you or not useful to you, and you can't have me in your life. I was like, I hope we can both use this as a learning moment, because it's such a sad time for that, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, I'll pray for you, and I'm sorry you feel that way. And that was it. But I was like, she really just clung to this idea that meant so much to her that she forgot about the humanity between the two of us, you know?
Yeah. It's so bizarre to see people just write you off on a dime like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even like my posts are rude or cruel. They were just different than what she believed is all. And that's fine, but that's what's happened. And that was, so what you just said was really poignant. You know, these ideas, they're just tools. They're just, you know, how you feel about something. And no matter how passionate you are, is that really going to make the difference between how you feel about another human? Or can you get past that? Can you have a discussion, a mature discussion, if you need to? Or do you have to just be like, delete this person?
Yeah. So for me, I delete a lot of people, or I block a lot of people. But, you know, years ago, I read this book. I don't know. I'm sure you've probably read it or know of it. The Four Agreements. Are you familiar with that book? Yeah. And I think the third agreement was like, don't make assumptions or something like that. Or one of them was don't take anything personally. Mm-hmm. And that book impacted me in such a powerful way. I think it was around the same time I read that article from Steve Pavlina, but I just feel like it really helps when you have a broader understanding like that and what the tenets of that book talks about, because it allows you just to let go of people's, you know, reactions to you. And I get the same thing. You know, I had this recently where the same sort of situation where I look back at the thread and I'd been helping this person. And then all of a sudden, you know, they start questioning and they start, you know, belittling me, and I never blocked them. And then when I did, it was just much easier. But I just feel like it's one of those things. It's okay for people to, you know, it's okay if Morley's wrong about things, if Dr. Bob Marshall's wrong, if, you know, Dr. Jack Cruz is wrong. It's okay. And that's fine. Yeah. And just do what works for you. And, you know, all these people are just signposts in my, you know, the way I look at it.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, we're wrong. I'm wrong a lot. You know, I've had to completely change a lot of my stances on gut health and probiotics and things like that. And, you know, it just helps you to grow as a person, and it keeps you from being bitter, because if you hang on to that stuff, you're really going to hate a lot of people. You know, you're always going to run up against that. Always.
Yeah. And I just, I see also just the aligning. I think it's happening in our culture with everything that's going on right now. You know, it's polarizing everyone. And I think it's polarizing everyone in these sort of health groups too, you know, where, you know, Morley's my guru, or Ray Pete's my guru, or Dr. Cruz is my guru. And I just feel like when you identify with a group like that and you step away from your heart and what really makes sense, like, does it really make sense to, you know, overdose on one food only, or do 30 bananas a day, you know, that kind of stuff? Like, it just intuitively doesn't make sense, you know?
You remember that phase he went through?
I do.
Do you remember soaking dried fruit in bleach phase?
Oh, man. That was, yeah, those are my raw vegan days. I was raw vegan from 03 to 2010.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah, it was, but you know, I look back at that and I think like that was an amazing period of growth for me, you know? Yeah. And I'm sure you've had that too, right?
Sure, sure. I mean, here I was working on my gut health. I had remediated my microbiome and I was just like super feeling amazing, but I couldn't have a baby. I kept miscarrying and I just had the worst hormones ever. And it's like, okay, I couldn't just keep being the healthy gut girl and be like, hey, everything's all good over here, folks. I had to say, okay, what in the heck is going on that my gut is not fixing? And then
were you able to have a child?
No. And by the time I figured everything out that I know now, that I'm working with Ona's and that I have this estrogen dominant support group, by the time I figured it out, I was already in my late 40s. Okay. And so, you know, and I didn't want to do IVF, so it just went that way. But, you know, it's like you said, I mean, yeah, people look at that and they're like, that's awful, you know, and it certainly has been painful at times. But for the most part, I mean, what a gift, you know, to be able to, first of all, spend my whole life, just me and my husband having a good time and finding new ways to love each other. And, you know, and not be burdened with, you know, having to be, I mean, I'm already a worried chihuahua. It's just my disposition, my constitution. So, you know, I just would be, I mean, you know, I'm all gray at 52. I was going gray at 19. Can you imagine if I had 2 4-year-old twins?
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, it's just not, it's so in a way, you know, I can see all the blessings in it, but what was really cool was that all the stuff I learned on how to, like, if I could go back to 36, when all of that stuff was really going down, 34, how I could have fixed it. Well, now I've got all that knowledge. And so I'm getting all these women pregnant, you know, I have all these women having babies around me that were miscarrying or that were suffering from preeclampsia and gestational diabetes in previous pregnancies. And then now they're skating through it like no issue. And so that is just, like you said, you know, that time period becomes such a blessing and you can really let it torture you. You can.
It's difficult to let go of those things. You know, it's really difficult to look back on a period of your life and for you to say, you know what, this was a good learning, you know, thing for me. And, you know, what I was doing from 03 to 2010, being a raw food vegan, I feel like it damaged me in a lot of ways. But I look at it as a period of massive growth, and there's so much good that came out of that. Because someone in our group was asking me, well, what, you know, if it was a bad diet for you, why do you look back on it thinking it was a good thing? You know, it's just like anything that may be not good for you that you go through, you can always look back and see how it made you grow. You know?
I have a lot of ex-boyfriends that I could look back at and think that.
Totally.
It's like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? But wow, I would not be the person if I hadn't made it through that and you know, sorted myself out. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. Well, that's an attitude. It's just an attitude of gratitude. You know, it's just like shifting your perspective about life in general.
Yeah. I think that, you know, with the food thing, cause to me, like, it's not really that interesting. You know, food is, even though I have a show about diet and nutrition, it's, you know, food is just a conduit, I think, for growth. And for becoming closer with God and for growing as a person, you know, and I think it's a discipline that you do 3 times a day, you know, so it's easy to do well and then it's easy to mess up. But I think ultimately food is just a conduit to growing as a person. And so food and nutrition and minerals and all this stuff, yes, I'm really interested in it. And I love helping people, but ultimately it's like, okay, what are we going to do with this increased energy? You know, like, okay, so now we're healthy. Okay. So now you reverse your cancer or you reverse your type 2 diabetes or whatever it is. Now what, you know? And so when you look at it, like, you know, for me, people that just focus on the physical form, okay, so now I can fit into my skinny jeans or now I look like a muscle head. Okay. So now what? So now you reach your goal. So now you just get to be done. But in actuality, I think it's a conduit for bigger growth. You know, it's just a way to get somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. But I've never heard of that. I like food as a conduit for growth. It's cool. I mean, I think that's a very spiritual perspective about food, because it, you know, like I always say to people, look at food as like 80%. Medicinal, like it's there to help you to heal and even if you're doing fine, but to keep you healthy, to nourish your body. And then 20% can be like soul food, where you're, you know, whatever that means to you, within reason, right? You just not spending the weekend eating frozen pizzas and chocolate covered pretzels, but you know, but I love chocolate covered pretzels and some ice cream. I love that. But you know, and that's soul food. And I feel like that's important. So you're kind of saying a similar thing. It's like that 80%, you know, maybe that's the part that is as a conduit for growth. It's like looking at it like this isn't just sustenance and this isn't just filling a hole in my lonely soul right now. This is actual sustenance. It's how I'm meant to operate on this planet. It's how I'm meant to be here. And that's a profound concept.
Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense, because it's ultimately a great way to, you know, utilize your disciplines. Right. But ultimately it comes down to the people that trash their nutrition and trash their bodies. I look at it as like, well, why are you doing that? You know, I believe that God gave our DNA to us as a gift. And just like the parable of talents in Matthew, when Jesus was upset with the person who just buried the talents instead of, you know, growing them, in the same way, our DNA is a gift that we've been given. And, you know, how are we going to honor the giver, God, with how we treat our temple, but not worship the temple and not worship our bodies, you know, and not worship the earth. But ultimately, these things are gifts that have been given to us. And how are we going to honor the giver by honoring ourselves? So like, you know, why are you, you know, constantly eating terrible food and exposing yourself to all, you know, all this different stuff in the world today? Like that's not very honoring to our creator, in my opinion, you know? And so, and then also looking at it is like, okay, so now I honor, you know, God with our DNA and how I treat our DNA and how, what kind of DNA gets passed on, but also how am I looking at food as the conduit to the person I'm becoming? Like if my mission is to do X, Y, Z, does this bowl of ice cream, you know, get me there? Or does this pizza get me there? It's okay to eat, you know, ice cream and pizza, but ultimately, am I feeding myself so that I can do like what you just said, becoming the best version of yourself and why I'm here on the planet? Like, you know, and so people don't really know why they're here. They don't really have a mission, or they're not called to do any one thing, and they're just kind of floating along. And so trashing your body makes sense because you have no real direction that you're going in life. And so when you have a direction and a mission and a plan, you want to treat yourself well so that you have the energy to carry that plan out.
Right. Know? I mean, I there is that version of person, of a person that's trashing their body, but we're guilty of this, which is like, you know, just being so busy and being like hyper-focused in one direction. And then when it comes time to eat, you know, you haven't planned it out. You haven't thought about it. And this is a lot of people, and you haven't planned it. And so you just, and you have to eat something. And so you just do a very poor job of it. And maybe you fall back on things that are not great, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be junk food. It can just be, all right, well, I do have this bread here, so I'm going to make a grilled cheese, you know, and maybe it's aged cheddar and it's organic bread and homemade, but it's still, it's like I'm falling back on. So I'm just saying that because it's like, that's an extreme, people who are trashing their bodies, but you can really just do some damage by not, you know, making a plan to feed yourself. And that's part of that honoring your body too, right? Honoring God's creation is like taking the time to care about it as importantly as you are doing whatever it is you're focusing on, like getting ready to podcast all day today, or getting ready to edit all day today, or getting ready to go work on people in the chiropractic office today. Mm-hmm. Like, can you spend that much care and energy towards taking care of yourself? A lot of people have a hard time taking care of themselves, you know?
I know. It's funny too, because you see a lot of people in the natural health space that become so busy where they can't do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure you know of or know people directly who are in the natural health space, but they look incredibly unhealthy you know, and that's probably because they're super passionate about what they do. But like you said, it takes discipline to eat correctly, to plan ahead, to do your sauna session, or to get outside and go for a walk. And, you know, it takes discipline to take care of yourself.
So, you know, that was something about Dr. Marshall, since you brought this up. He was so committed to his health. You know, he used to run 3 miles, not every day, but almost every day. He used to just like when he was on, if it wasn't the bananas, it was something. He was constantly the highest quality, the best. He was so committed. And, you know, I think that this goes to show you that it isn't, you know, there's a bunch of different pieces to taking care of ourselves. And he overworked so much. That man worked so hard. He would get in at 8 a.m. and work until 8 p.m. And while we were all there assisting him, yawning and starving, you know, he would be like with his bleach soaked dates or whatever. Yeah. And he just would be going through with so much energy. It was incredible. It was one of the few practitioners that I knew that intimately, that closely. He was a dear friend that was that walk in the walk, you know, in terms of diet and self-care, except for that one part was that he overworked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really weird. You know, when you read articles about people that are long lived people, that are like 100 years old, or like, you know, you look at a lot of the Rothschilds or these kind of like these, you know, elite families that are 97, 98, like the queen, right? And all these people. And, you know, it's just really interesting to see people that live so long. And aside from what you might believe about that, you know, just assuming they're regular people and all that. But I think having a passion and, you know, just living, I think it's more to do with how you view life and how you manage stress and what you worry about, because you can make health your number one priority and it can be taken away, you know? And, I think it's more important to eat food. Like, I'd rather have someone just eat pizza and ice cream one night and be laughing and enjoying themselves and not being stressed out about how unhealthy the food is, you know, and just loving that time and spending it with quality people, than the, you know, hyper focused, you know, taking 45 supplements and food combining properly and, you know, all this stuff. I think it's really more about, you know, the food, the discipline, the lifestyle is all about personal growth anyway, you know?
Yeah. Balance mm-hmm. and personal growth. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I always wonder that, you know, but then I'm like, should I really judge that person? Like when the whole COVID thing happened and like the czar of health or the minister of health would get in front of the camera and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to take advice from you. You're scaring yeah. me. But, yeah. you know, it kind of would be nice if your health practitioners did exude some health, mm-hmm, you know?
Right.
Well, this is such a shocking, not shocking, but unexpected, lovely conversation with you. You know, it's just really nice to talk kind of like more spiritually and esoterically about health in general, because it's just, I love it. But I do want to dig in a little bit about the vitamin E. And I love this post you posted. I shared it in my story about vitamin E levels being low. If you don't mind shifting gears a tiny bit.
No, not at all.
Okay. Yeah. You had posted this incredible study about link between risk of colorectal cancer and serum vitamin E levels, a meta-analysis of case control studies. So just mm-hmm. before you start, I never really focused on vitamin E and vitamin A. I would always say the B, the C, you know, the D, and not even that much D. And even Dr. Marshall would not really talk about that much, even though he did have his Delta tocotrienol stuff, but never A. You know, now I'm realizing that a lot of what I suffered from was these deficiencies, and the vitamin A now is shocking to me how much of a role it plays in liver function and hormonal health and thyroid. I mean, I was blown away by what I've been learning in the last couple of months. So talk to me about, blow my mind with vitamin E.
Well, it's an area of study that's relatively new to me as well, but I'm like you, I like to research things. I like to read articles and studies. And so when I learned about vitamin E, it's one of those things where I was like you, where you always hear about vitamin C, right? Or vitamin mm-hmm. D, but you never hear about the fat soluble vitamins like, you know, A, E, D, and K. And specifically E is just not really talked about at all. But I read, Dr. Ray Peet's article. He's got a really great article on vitamin E. And when you understand, like, it's a chain breaking antioxidant, because all of these long chain fats, these polyunsaturated fats, have these long hydrogen bonds, and they tend to oxidize really easily. And vitamin E seems to be a chain breaking antioxidant in the sense that it could donate electrons. And so
can I describe that visual I just had to my audience real quick? So like the bonds, the short chain, the fatty acids of this or that. But like, if you think of these PUFAs, these polyunsaturated fats, right? And they're all stuck together like a caterpillar. And then when they're meant to be broken apart and used in the body, but then mm-hmm. when they oxidize, they almost melt together and become this big glob of like grossness, right? And so you're saying that the vitamin E can kind of go in there and break those chains apart. Is that right?
Yeah. So it helps to convert linoleic acid into saturated fat, which is the type of fat that has less double bonds on it, that tend to oxidize less. And so this whole notion of oxidation is a real problem inside the body. And so when we consume these toxic oils, these long chain fatty acids, the biggest offender seems to be fish oil. But the vegetable oils, the seed oils are really, really toxic as well in that respect. And so they oxidize really easy. I was looking at a study recently where, gosh, I wish I could, I had it on hand, but it was talking about how, I think it was fish oil it was talking about, it oxidizes immediately once inside the body. And so that to me is fascinating, because you have a lot of companies out there saying, hey, this is nitrogen flesh. It's cold process. It's stone ground. It's organic, you know, all this stuff, right? They make all this. But what happens when you put that oil into a tropical body that's filled with 98.6, you know, degree body temperature? It's filled with light and heat and oxygen. And so it was interesting that study showed that the oxidation of those molecules happens almost instantaneously.
Wow.
And so that's really disheartening. And so this kind of goes back to this idea, the oxidative theory of aging. There's a really great PubMed article about that. and this a loss of electrons. So when you take vitamin E, it's an electron donor. And so across the cell membrane, it has to keep a certain voltage across the cell membrane. And in order to do that, you need antioxidants to be able to stabilize that cell membrane. But when you consume these polyunsaturated fatty acids, you lose electrons across the cell membrane, and the cell membrane becomes permeable, and you don't want that. And so vitamin E is one of the things that donates electrons to stabilize the voltage of the cell membrane. So this oxidation is really powerful. So vitamin E seems to be the best way to mitigate the damaging effects of consuming a lifetime, like I did, of toxic seed oils, you know, crackers made with canola oil, all these vegetable oils. These things are incredibly damaging. And it's crazy that they, like, you know, the majority of people consume them.
Yeah.
And they don't even think about it.
Right. I mean, because especially now with, you know, like you go to like the co-op or you know, a health food store, and you can find all kinds of healthy crackers, Mary's crackers, all these different flackers, all these different types of seed crackers. And they just are filled with this stuff. And you think because they're gluten-free or because they're healthy and organic that they're actually good for you. It's very sad.
Yeah, it's sad. And it's just a bummer that people don't know, you know,
at least if we knew,
but they're pushed, you know, this whole vegan stuff is being pushed, and it's creating massive amounts of oxidation and inflammation inside the body. And as Morley says, when that happens, iron rises and magnesium gets depleted. And if you don't have enough magnesium and you're taking vitamin D, then you're not going to be able to convert those hormones, those, you know, 913 genes from being expressed properly. So then you have DNA damage. And so the consumption of vitamin E is something that I've learned about recently. I just feel like it's really one of those things that maybe I needed on a subconscious level. Like maybe I had some oxidation happening that I didn't know about. And so I stumble across this work and I feel like it's just been a game changer. You know, it's also really great for being an estrogen antagonist as well.
Yes.
So
explain what that means.
Well, you have just excess estrogen. We're being exposed to all these phytoestrogens and xenoestrogens in just through plastics and chemicals inside of our body. And I know Dr. Pete talks a lot about this as well, but vitamin E seems to displace that and helps to regulate the balance of those estrogens turning carcinogenic or impacting your thyroid or impacting cell membranes or impacting how enzymes are expressed so that hormones can activate properly. And so it's just fascinating. It's like, why aren't more people talking about vitamin E?
I mean, this is news to me, and I'm a hormone expert. Right. So it helps display. So it's an estrogen antagonizer. So that makes it sound like it, you know, so it pulls it out of receptors, out of tissue, and then you need to be able to chelate that, or not. You need to be able to dump it, to get rid of it, to process it, to conjugate it, to dump it. And then your estrobilome microbiome in your bowel gets to do, you know, metabolize that and then get rid of it, or you'll just recycle it back up. So is there something that that vitamin E does that maybe, because it's great that it does that, but you know, if your bowel, if your gut isn't functioning, and if you don't have enough, like, you know, fiber to feed the estrobilome to get rid of that, you're going to recycle that estrogen. So sometimes I wonder, I even had a conversation with Carol Peterson about this, the pharmacist, about, like, sometimes I wonder if the cortisol and the estrogen that's in fat tissue, if it's just left alone there, like, instead of, you know, because when you start to dose progesterone and you've got high levels of these toxic estrogens, you know, it stimulates estrogen receptors, and then you get these estrogenic side effects. And so people take progesterone and think it's the estrogen causing their symptoms, but it's just antagonizing the estrogen. So I'm like, well, wait a minute, should we be antagonizing the estrogen unless we know that whole transport, that is happening at the liver and the bowel with estrogen is happening, you know, like a well-oiled machine. Otherwise you're just going to kick it back into recycling. So I wonder, you know?
And I think that it does synergize, like we talked about before, sort of leading off with the lipofuscin, because that's sort of a synergy, a combination of excess estrogen, heavy metals, iron, and these polyunsaturated fats, and they sort of synergize into what's called yellow fat disease or lipofuscinosis. And that tends to accumulate in different areas of their body, like your liver, causing fatty liver disease, and your in the lysosome of the cell. The lysosome is supposed to be the area of the cell where you store toxins, you know, but they get, you know, stored with progressive lipofuscinosis, these oxidized fats and estrogens. And so maybe that's what it's doing. It's synergizing with all these other oils that we're consuming and sort of taking up space because it can't be metabolized out of the body, you know? And so,
wow.
Yeah, it's there's a lot more going on than I was ever taught.
Yeah, yeah. I like what Ray P talked about with vitamin E and burning in the sun and having adequate amounts of vitamin E. Did he say A as well or D as well?
He probably said D.
D and A, D and E.
Yeah. Yeah, D and E. Yeah, it seems to be incredibly anti-inflammatory as well, because what happens too with like people with skin cancers is that they get exposed to ultraviolet light from the sun or blue light from their screens. And these toxic oils, there's no receptors in the skin cells for these oils, you know, specifically omega-3. I think there are some omega-6 receptors, but not omega-3 in the skin cells. And so what happens is it shows up on your skin, and then you interact that with like UV light or blue light, high frequency blue light. And people say that, oh, the sun is causing cancer, but it's really a lot more than that. It's probably the consumption of these seed oils, the lack of vitamin E, the exposure of your skin to blue light, the wearing of sunscreen, because that's going to cause other heavy metals to be on the skin. And so when you see someone like just lathering up sunscreen, you know, eating fried foods with these toxic oils in it, you know, you just think, wow, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. I was a big fried food person. Like I think it was a biochemical thing because I have some friends that are similar, and it was just like, I don't know. I just loved fried food.
It's so good, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I'm making excuses. Like I don't know why I loved it, because it was damn good. That's why.
It's so good.
Yeah. So, but I got to this age where anytime I go, and I'm really olive complected. I grew up, I mean, people thought that I was definitely black or half black when I was a young girl, because I was so dark. And I got older and started to get in the sun and burn just right away. I would just burn. So when I met Dr. Marshall, he's like, you need an oil change. He's like, you're pushing bad oils, trans fats and all kinds of bad oils to the surface of your skin. And that's what's meant to be protecting you. And it's not. He's like, you might as well just put baby oil all over yourself and go out in the sun. I'm like, oh, what a great way to look at it. It's like you're frying an egg, you know? So he said, you know, he had this method where you drink a bunch of coconut oil in like a smoothie, like 2 tablespoons or something. You just like drink that. And then you put coconut oil all over your body and get as naked as you can get and go out in sun. And then you muscle test it to when it goes, it has to muscle test off. And it can take like 15 minutes or 30 minutes. And then you just like wipe it all off. And he's like, it'll extract the oils into the, I don't know. I have no idea if there's science to back that up, but I would do it a lot. And it kind of helped, you know, but I think I was just not as healthy as I could have been. And now, you know, I've been taking the Deltanol for a while, his product, and I definitely don't burn in the sun like I was. So there's something to that for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense, because when the UV light hits your skin, there's a lot of chemical processes going on. And the consumption of these toxic oils, I believe, is what's really causing the skin cancers, along with, you know, the exposure to blue light and the lack of melanin. And I think Dr. Cruz's work on this is really fascinating, too, because he talks about the exposure to UVA and UVB frequency and infrared from the sun in the morning. So when you're like, you know, sun gazing, when the sun is first rising, you're doing all these amazing things, but you're helping set your circadian rhythm for the day. You're telling your mitochondria what time of day it is. So based on that clock, Like he talks about all these clocks inside of our body, and these clocks modulate the timing of certain hormones being released. Mm-hmm. And so, and when you're in the morning sun like that, you're creating melanin in the skin as well. And so like shaga mushroom is really high in melanin. So that's really great to take if you're worried about sunburn. But when you are watching the sun rise in the morning, you're creating these circadian rhythm pathways and the release of these hormones inside your hypothalamus to occur. And I think that's really important for not sunbathing. And I remember years ago, there's someone who referenced a study talking about people tend to burn more when they wear sunglasses and shoes. That made sense from learning what Dr. Cruz talks about in terms of creating circadian mismatches, because you're telling your body it's two different times of the day.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So your skin, the photoreceptors on your skin, the opsins, I think he calls them, you know, you're telling the mitochondria in your skin, it's whatever, it's 3:40 PM, you know, in May, 2022. And your mitochondria is constantly sending out frequencies to figure out, like, if all of a sudden we put you in a freezer, it's your mitochondria that would tell your body, okay, it's time to get cold, you know, because they're constantly putting out sensors into our environment to tell us, you know, what kind of environment we're in. Are we in a low oxygen? Are we on top of a mountain? Or is it freezing? Are we in Africa in the middle of the summer? And so you create these circadian mismatches by wearing clothes or sunglasses when you're outside. And so
then
it started to make sense to me. So I think really it just gets into like a lot of these people like Morley and Dr. Cruz and Dr. Pete, they create an environment where you can learn the science about how the body's working. Mm-hmm. But really it's just getting back to nature. Like we're not meant to be inside all day. You know, we're not meant to, you know, wear sunglasses. It's not normal. It's not natural.
Right.
I don't think, you know, someone just messaged me the other day about how do I prevent sun burning, you know, and I mentioned some of the things that you mentioned, mm-hmm. preloading with red light, you know, therapy, niacinamide, mm-hmm. vitamin E, these types of things. But I think that we're just so disconnected from nature, you know?
Yeah. It's like going outside is like an event. It's like, yeah. It should be like the other, you know, the other way around where, you know, we're going to go to the beach like once this month and then no wonder you're burning.
Yeah. And it's funny because people want something to put on their skin rather than, you know, find some shade where, you know, bring a jacket or bring a long sleeve shirt and mm-hmm. just get moderate sunlight, eat right. You know, if you want to do all the things, you can take your vitamin E, you can do red light therapy, mm-hmm. you know, take your shaga tea and stuff like that. But, you know, ultimately it's like, just don't spend all day outside, you know, exposed to the sun, you know, just be normal and be natural about it. But I think the ultimate message is that we are just spending way too much time indoors.
Yeah. And on the screen time too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've been so generous with your time, and I want to ask you one more thing about vitamin E. What food sources? Because I know it's not really easy to get vitamin E. Like even the products that you buy, most of them are not really the vitamin E that you want. You want like mixed tocotrienol, tocopherol. What is it that you want in a supplement, first of all?
Yeah, you look for like a mixed, there's four substances. I think it's tocotrienols and tocopherols. And like foods that are high in vitamin E, like what does Morley say? It's the vitamin E. There's some sort of oil, wheat germ oil, I think
wheat
it
germ
is.
Oil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's got a lot of vitamin E in it. Sunflower seeds, I know. You know, almonds and a lot of the nuts seem to have a high amount of vitamin E in them. Mm-hmm. I don't do a lot of nuts, you know, and I don't do the wheat germ oil that much, but, you know, I take a supplement of it and you want a mixed, you know, tocopherol product, or it's just better to get it from food if you can. I mean, I should follow my own advice and just get it from food, you know?
Right. But it's hard because if we're not meant to really be eating nuts and seeds that much, then you need a certain amount of it. It's no wonder we're all deficient. You know?
Yeah, product that Morley mentions, but it's a wheat germ oil, and that's part of his RCP protocol.
Yeah. I mean, is there any conversion that needs to happen? Or like this is saying broccoli, spinach, avocado, sunflower seeds, almonds, peanuts, hazelnuts, kiwi fruit, mango, wheat germ oil, bell pepper, tomatoes, sunflower oil. Nope. Right? Yeah. Isn't that a PUFA?
Mm-hmm.
And then eggs. Eggs. sweet potatoes, butternut. So there's quite a few. It's quite a few. So really a diverse diet we're looking at for sure. Mm-hmm. What about, so eating fish, eating salmon, eating high quality wild caught fish, that is, you're not going to have as much PUFA as you would if you were eating the fish oil.
Right. Right.
Okay. So you're safe with fish, but that's also not something you should always be doing, right?
Yeah. I think I've sort of lessened my stance on it a little bit. I think generally it's the cold water fish that have the most omega-3 oils in them because the omega-3 oils, essentially acts as a buffer for the cold water fish to be able to withstand the cold, which makes sense because if you look at the Eskimos, you know, they were consuming a lot of fish and they were living in cold environments. And so if you are going to consume fish, I don't really consume fish as much as I used to, but warm water fish would be, you know, less high in those omega-3 oils. Hmm. But you know what? It's like I used to be so neurotic about my health and my diet and everything. You know, if you have some salmon every now and then, it's no big deal.
Every Friday for sushi with your sake, you know?
Yeah, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it, you know? Just laugh, be with friends, chew your food, don't rush, you know?
Chew your food. Get outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of that, there's a lot of people just, you know, spouting the science and stuff and it makes sense. But I think ultimately it's just, you know, develop and cultivate a life that you love, do the thing that you like to love, you know, be in alignment with your mission and laugh and have friends and supportive people in your life, and enjoy your life. And just, you know, if you want, take your supplements and take your, you know, take your stuff, do your blood donations. I'm a big fan of blood donations and just lower your stress and, you know, and enjoy yourself.
I love that advice. Yeah. Now our blood's going to be worth money, isn't it? Us pure bloods.
Oh my gosh. Right. There's like 20 of us left. There's not many of us left.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome. Well, I am so grateful to you. This was so fun and surprisingly different than thought we were going to really get into, you know, more of the stuff that I've been doing lately, but it was such a breath of fresh air and I really appreciate that.
Well, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I was, you know, like I said before, I mean, food is fun and I love researching and reading articles and stuff. But ultimately, you know, if we're all doing the work that we're supposed to be doing in this world, you know, food is like an afterthought. It's like, okay, food is just the fuel for me to be able to do my mission, you know? Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, like, we have to confront, I think, like, what it is we're here to do.
Yeah.
You know? What is that?
Absolutely.
And then eat the food that will give you the energy to do that.
Yeah. You know? That's so simply put and so true. Do your chickens have names?
They do.
How many do you have?
We have 7. There's Goldie. There's Earl. I don't even know all the names. My wife names them all.
I want chickens so bad. And
you don't have chickens?
No, we can't have them here. We have a communal courtyard here, but we do have a home in Sarasota and I really want to move there eventually. And I would very much like some chickens. I like really want chickens.
it's awesome. Why do you want chickens?
Because they're so cute and because they make food and because they can be so friendly. And like, I want my husband to build a chicken coop. I just love everything about chickens.
No way. You're just like my wife, Kate. She is just like the chicken girl now. It's so funny.
I love it. Yeah. It's been a dream that's a long time coming for sure. So yeah, I'm going
to
make that
pretty
happen.
Cool. We've been, you know, growing some food, then we give it to the chickens and they give us eggs and then we take their, you know, chicken droppings and then we put it back to the garden. It's really cool cycle, you know?
I love that. That's exactly. Yeah. I want to do that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Hey, I hope you had as much fun as I did interviewing Justin Stellman. Just go into the show notes and click on his link down there for Extreme Health Radio, and you can listen to him and follow him on Instagram at Extreme Health Radio also. And if you want to go to usonasnatural.com and you can use your coupon code EHR as in Extreme Health Radio 10 and get 10% off of all your purchases, plus the multi-product discount. So you can get like if you buy 3 calm creams, you will get a discount for every calm cream that you add on, plus the EHR 10 discount, which is Extreme Health Radio 10. So take advantage of that for sure. There's a lot of different products and we're going to be adding more, and it's not just going to be about women. It's going to be about men. We have the T boost on there for men, all kinds of good stuff. Progesterone is not just for women. It is indeed for men. It is important for men, especially if you have high estrogen. You know who you are. You need to have that progesterone to oppose that estrogen, or it gets very, very dangerous. And did you know that aspirin actually brings down estrogen as well? Brings down high levels of estrogen. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed that, and we will talk to you soon.